are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. It's been dubbed the Witch's House. Urban legends portray the former owner and creator as a loner, shut up in her home, creating the concrete statues that adorn the yard. But artist Mary Knoll was no witch. She was a prolific artist, an innovator, and a caring friend. And that's what attracted Marielle Alschwang to her work. The singer-songwriter found herself enamored by the folklore surrounding Knoll's life and the artwork she created, and it inspired her new album, Procession of a Day, The World of Mary Knoll. Alschwang describes the album as a portrait of Knoll through the eyes of her group, Marielle Alschwang and the Visitations. Alschwang joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the studio, along with bandmate Adam Krause. This is their song, Built to Bloom, Procession Aria.
Built to Bloom and Procession Aria from Marielle Alschwang. She's joining us now in studio along with guitarist Adam Krause. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
So your new album, it's called Procession of a Day, The World of Mary Knoll. So we have to start here. Who is Mary Knoll?
She is an artist who lived from 1914 to 2001, who actually grew up in Milwaukee and for most of her life had a home right off the shore of Lake Michigan. It's actually still there in Fox Point, Wisconsin, and created an artist-built environment at that home. So it's just sprawling with artworks inside and outside, made of all kinds of different materials that she found or salvaged and saved and transformed all through various media that you can think of, from painting to ceramics to wire mesh figures to woodworking to cement sculptures, where she mixed the cement herself from the sand right off of the lake. So prolific is an understatement. And we also may know her through the Mary L. Knoll Fund that the Greater Milwaukee Foundation grants to artists here in Milwaukee. So she's pretty legendary on a couple different levels, many levels.
What did you find so inspiring about, you know, not just her work, but also her life?
I identify as an artist myself, and she said once that her art identifies her. And there's all kinds of intersectionalities and hybridities that we bring along with us, but the fact that she had this really visible autonomy and was so devoted to her work and exercised her will upon the world in this really, what I find, you know, now in the modern sort of global context, to be a sustainable and, you know, pro-environmental ecological way, is heroic and really inspiring.
When you say exercised her will upon the world, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so as an artist, it seemed like she was an innovator since, you know, her early childhood. There are drawings she had of a piano box that she turned into like a playhouse for her and her friends in the neighborhood. One of our songs is about this airplane contest where she was the only girl out of like 27 people to make it to the finals or something. And she created cement in her bathtub as a kid. She adapted her shoes to be like rain boots or to be able to work in sort of more muddy environments while working. And she owned a ceramics shop. She went to Chicago and like picked out a kiln and so many things as an artist, in addition to these journals she kept, where she kept in touch with friends, and she was a very present person and sort of was aware and made note of even the most minute things in her environment. And also, I found through these journals that she, you know, would write representatives about, like, you know, you should try to keep the shoreline cleaner or things like that. Not to, like, get into the politics of Mary Knoll, but I think her engagement with politics or with the body politic and her work, it all combines for me in this way that is someone who was very seen as an eccentric to many, but was very centered and was able to exercise her will in her own way from her own sort of central point.
For people who haven't seen her work specifically, how would you describe it?
That's a really good question, because I think it has some similarities to other. It's definitely unique to her. She had her own sort of lexicon, visual lexicon that included what she called spooks and giant fish and dinosaurs and all these sort of whimsical, visionary things. Also, a really uncanny character that crops up in groups, almost like a mushroom patch or something. These figures with bowler hats, still don't know exactly what that is. And just sort of floating figures in boats. I think she was also really influenced by seeing the lake every day. But, you know, as an aesthetic, I do see similarities between her work and other Wisconsin-based artists. There's this sort of Midwestern visionary aesthetic that I don't exactly think is, you know, everybody getting together and like, let's draw this way. You know, let's all have hybrid humanoid creatures or something. But I don't know, maybe there's just something about this place that inspires a certain look to the work.
The folklore, the shared community.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and there's a lot that I had discovered about Mary Knoll as sort of a more social person. Like, you know, she did have parties with other artists there, one of whom I weirdly recognized in a picture as being an artist that was like friends with my grandparents or something. And then I could see like, oh yeah, like this profile, this, you know, just the line from this drawing by this artist kind of resembles this one that she created. So yeah, we do share a lot of information, maybe tacitly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me about this next song, Newsletter. How does it relate to Mary Knoll and her life?
Yeah, so this one is about, or actually directly taken from the mimeographed letters that I told you about. The John Michael Kohler Art Center has tons of them, and we were only able to look at a few, but I just picked out one and kind of pulled a William Burroughs on it. So it's a cut-up of one newsletter. Yeah, all of the words are hers.
Washington teeth, postcard. spelled lines and representatives. Still my thoughts to mimeographed greetings. Postcards of hours and space. And here, loving without measure a day.
Newsletter by Marielle Alschwang. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You know, when I thought about this album and when I started listening to you, I had to wonder, what was it like writing songs for this? Because in some ways, having a concept and having a theme, they can feel both limiting and freeing.
Yes. We're huge subscribers of that philosophy. I see Adam. Yeah.
We do like limitations. They help, but they can be very confusing too. We did a lot of the reading and research together, and then I remember we had a giant sheet of paper, and we wrote Mary Knoll in the center with a circle, and then made a giant Venn diagram with the themes working out from her name, and then sort of started picking like how we want to handle the narrative of this one person's life and what are the things that are important to us. Because the Kohler was telling us they have something like 6,000 pieces by her in their collection. Like, she's prolific beyond belief. She lived a very long time. She traveled everywhere. Like, there's so much you could say about her that, you know, picking sort of a thread and making a narrative and picking out themes of our own around that narrative was kind of the first challenge. And then once we did that, we said, you know, there were a couple songs that had already, that were just sort of wrote themselves, and then we needed some more. And so we sort of picked like, well, we need to talk about this because we'd like to, and we'd like to talk about this. And then sometimes writing about a theme can be easy, and sometimes it can be very difficult.
Yeah, it was sort of like a 5-year-long process of painting someone's portrait. Recently, in the past month, I kept thinking about like Gertrude Stein, or like her portraits of objects and people, and how fractured or fractal it can be. And as Adam said, very much us being aware that it's from our perspective, it's the things about her that we find important. And I think that was very grounding, because it can be overwhelming to think about Mary Knoll as a figure who's impacted so many people, and everybody has their own memories, whether it be, you know, being a teenager and like driving past her house, or I just met someone who is a student, an art student of hers, because she taught public school for a little while, and obviously people who had met her and spoken with her and written about her and are stewards of her work still. So yeah, we were researching not just Mary Knoll's life, but also delving into the themes that were orbiting around this central subject. And every time something seemed like a really urgent thing to say about her, then that's where like a song would come and we would start trying to flesh it out. So bit by bit, finally, we kind of landed on a cluster of things that, as we pulled back from the canvas, actually looked like the person that we knew and loved in our imaginations.
What were the things that you really wanted to include in this? When you did take a step back, what were the things that you said, this has to be a part of this? This is such a part of her.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I wanted to get across was the collaborative aspect of Mary Knoll, to sort of demystify this idea of her as the witch, this like reclusive figure, and sort of bring a lot of love into it. I just wanted to dump as much love into this bucket that we were churning our songs into as much as possible, and friendship and also collaboration with her natural environment. That was something that struck me immediately when I went to her home and was sort of exploring her work initially years ago, you know, the driftwood and the sand and the lake and the sounds and the light coming through all of these sort of stained glass mobiles and things that she made, in addition to, you know, this, as somebody who creates art or music, you know, a collaboration with sort of these really ineffable, ephemeral things, you know, your memories, you know, her thinking about how her brother might have influenced her, how her parents, how her experiences, her travels, all of these things that to a huge extent she cataloged and recorded and made drawings of and all that. But what is this sort of like essence, and how can exploring Mary Knoll be a vehicle of that process, I guess, as a creative person? That was a really long answer to the first one. But also, you know, while I'm on the subject of the artistic process, there's a song that was the last one that we had written, and it's the last one in our song cycle, called Turning, and it's about why we chose Precession as the title, this sort of ongoing cyclic force around a central axis. But in that song, it's sort of more of a metaphor, I guess, for kind of reaching this point, this back and forth, or this ongoing cycle of, is this any good? Why am I doing this? Why does it look different now than it did yesterday? What's compelling me to make these adjustments? Or when will I finally, you know, accept it as being finished? Like, Mary Knoll never signed a painting because she was never finished with anything, you know? And I think a lot of us can relate to that. And ironically, the song that addressed that ended up being sort of our, well, I guess we're done now in the process of writing this project. But I think that is also definitely something that we wanted to get across, in addition to many other more biographical anecdotes and themes.
Would you like to play that for us?
Oh, sure.
Turning?
Yeah. Before you start, I would just like to say, Marielle, Adam, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work with us.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you about it.
Local singer-songwriter Marielle Alschwang playing her song Turning from her latest album Precession of a Day, The World of Mary Knoll. She was joined by guitarist Adam Krause, and they spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. Jason Reavy engineered our in-studio performance. Marielle Alschwang and the Visitations will be performing at the Oriental Theater this Saturday, September 21st at 7. You can find more information at wuwm.com.
Before the fire dims to dust, an ignition in the heart, a spark in the mind, a desire to climb from the ashes of the last time. I had string bean limbs when I found out that time was relative to a space which might be infinite, and to a constant turning, 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 when souls leave their and see outside of time and inside the secret that sends us turning.